From RunAsRadio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Wen announcing show number 593, Azure Key Vault Tooling with guests Andrew Chung and Paul Yuknowitz. Recorded Thursday, May 10th, 2018. Run As Radio is produced each week by Pwop Productions, providing professional media and podcasting services online at pwop.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio here at Build in Seattle. Last day, been doing lots of shows. Got a great conversation coming up. Paul Yuck and Andrew Chung, we're talking a little Azure Key Vault. And I guess I should give you a proper, problem is Paul and I have known each other too long, right?
This is so true.
Been going hither and yon. You have a real job, a principal PM manager. Does that make you a project manager?
I am a product manager manager.
Product manager manager.
At times, even a manager of product manager managers.
For Azure tools.
And I mean, it's like using Lisp. You just got to follow your way down.
Yeah, if we have enough parentheses, all things are possible.
Yes, we can this get is there. So true.
And, of course, you've been deeply involved with really bringing Azure forward from a development experience.
Yes,
like helping
definitely.
Those tools make life a little easier.
To build complete application services.
Yeah.
Diagnostics is one of my hobbies now, too.
Yes, I was most excited I've ever seen you in any talk ever was showing that sort of dynamically intercepting a failure in production on Azure.
Yes.
Being able to drop into a breakpoint and know where you were. Coolest thing I've ever seen. And Andrew Chung and I have just met. Sorry, this is such insider ball, Andrew. But a program manager for connected services in Visual Studio and obviously directly involved with what we're talking about today, which is getting Azure Key Vault connected through our normal dev stacks. And this has been a pet peeve of mine.
Mm.
More on the certificate side.
Yes.
Over on .NET Rocks, we've been having conversations on a regular basis about just how darn hard it is to install desktop apps. And most installation tools are heavily dependent on certificates, as they should be. We really need to know that you are who you say you are when you're pushing software onto machines. And I always saw the key, what I want is Microsoft to hand out the keys for free, for it to be integrated into the tool so it's everywhere, and that all those private keys end up in Key Vault. That I should fall into the pit of success with this. And for me, wearing my IT hat for exactly the same problem space, it's like you cannot blame me for completely resisting any unsigned code on any desktop machine that I'm responsible for, ever.
Yep.
I'm going to stop it all.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm keen to make it that my dev's instinct is to do signing, is to handle, please no private keys sitting in a zip file in a folder marked private keys.
Even right now, if you just go look at GitHub, and they have great tools, but there are so many secrets or even P2 secrets, it's astounding. It's just the easy, you talked about the pit of success. Right now, it's just the pit.
It's just a pit.
You fall into the pit.
A pit of doom. Well, and I know we've done shows at times talking to Microsoft folks about your own processes for building applications and getting ready to deploy them. And there are scrubbing tools that are going through.
Absolutely.
Have we left any keys behind?
Right. We have this whole strike program and strike training. Everyone must absolutely go through it.
Right.
And as a part of our engineering criteria, we sign off that we are cred scan clean.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And things like, we could talk about that a bit. Some of that same tooling that we've used internally, we've actually
started incorporating that in our tools. Love that.
Yeah. So CredScan is actually available today.
Neat. It is.
And from Andrew's team.
So this is your team, Andrew, I can pass my code through a tool that's going to look for any kinds of credentials.
It'll look through and exactly tell you if you've got a secret that is in your code.
Secret's a pretty broadly defined thing. So private keys, username, password sets, that kind of stuff.
Yes. All right. Yeah, it's a pretty broad set that we've developed over time. So it's the same one that we use, like we said, internally. Pretty tried and true.
Hey, anytime I can get my hands on the tools that you guys count on, at least I know you're highly motivated to make them work.
Yeah, that's so true.
that kind of adjacency is
don't
really
don't ask me
really
for open source yet, but yeah.
Okay. One step at a time.
Yep.
Can we do a little bit of recap on Azure Key Vault?
So, do you want to talk about it?
Sure. So just take a step back before Azure Key Vault, we've always had the ability to manage our secrets. In the past, we've had our secrets and connection strings stored in app settings. Mm-hmm. A couple of releases ago, we started in ASP.NET Core giving the ability to right-click manage user secrets, which opens up a secret JSON file. It's a local file, so it will never get carried through to GitHub, and you can manage your secrets locally there. So as we start talking about, well, that's great for if I'm developing for myself, but if you know we're trying to work off an application with a bunch of secrets, keys, connection strings, we don't want to IM them to each other.
No, we do need to share them, but we really shouldn't share them.
Exactly. We were talking about this even earlier. You know, you're in this tyranny of or. You can make the sharing work fast and easy, mm-hmm. but then you break the security rules. Or if you're secure, you still ironically end up having to send
a secret to your team members. Your security.
Yeah,
exactly, exactly.
So that's all anti-patterns, right? Mm-hmm.
And so that's where Key Vault comes in.
Right.
You can have a centralized vault where you store your secrets, your information, share it across applications, and you can manage permissions through the Key Vault as well.
So I can give you permission to a key without ever showing that key to you.
Exactly. The most you'd know is the key name, right?
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which is arbitrary. Like you name it what you want to.
Right. It's kind of like aliasing for decades, right? It's just an alias.
Right.
You always use the same alias, whatever environment you're in, and the right one gets loaded.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yep.
And what kind of identity do I need to provide to be able to have access to the Key Vault?
Identity-wise, I mean, you can, to have access to the Key Vault, you can base it off of users. You can give your application access, or you can give user groups. So if you're part of a user group as well.
But is this like an Azure AD thing?
Yeah, there's like service principles, mm-hmm. which are closest thing would be like a service account, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Like back in the day, it's like a service account, but it's a service principle, which kind of says this application entity always has access to the secret.
Okay.
And that would be using ADAL, I believe, which is the Active mm-hmm. Directory in the Azure Active Directory libraries.
Okay. So, and I'm just thinking through, like, if I'm not all committed to the cloud right now, but I really want to manage these kind of security principles well, I mean, this might be a gateway tool, right?
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. You could use just Azure Active Directory, which at least enables your both your applications and your users to also have an identity in the cloud. And that
what
could
about
be
an
federated.
NSA account, like just a regular live account or anything like that? Can I can I get the Azure credentials that way?
I think you could link it, like using something like B2C.
Right.
But no, I don't think so, actually, natively.
You probably want to have Azure AD set up.
Azure AD is recommended.
You know, it's good to know the bar I need to hop over, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Even if it's a different set of creds, like I don't necessarily need to be tied to my main domain.
That's right.
The fact that I can maintain some Azure creds.
And you guys do something cool with the user account too, right? Like the Visual Studio user account is a suitable replacement
mm-hmm. Interesting.
For a service
principle.
Isn't
that an MSA account?
Can be.
I think it can. Yes.
I think we make sure it's backed by Active Directory.
Yes.
Okay, so you do want AD in there.
Yeah.
All right. That's just a bar.
Yeah.
You know, especially if we're starting at the early stages where it's just I want certain apps and certain devs being able to do this. Like, mm-hmm. this is not a huge commitment. I just want to know. I got to set that up, and then I can have access to this, and we can start managing these keys in a pretty responsible way. Because I don't know that I'm happy with any key storage solution on-prem.
And by the way, you seem to love certificates, so certificates also a way you can access. and there's one more that I want to talk about, which is managed service identity. I don't know if you guys have heard about that, but there's a cool thing where in your host service can actually carry an identity as well, and then you can grant that service to have access to other services, right? So you could say this app service web app mm-hmm. always has access to this other storage account,
right?
In that case, there's actually no connection strings whatsoever.
Interesting.
You would just refer.
It's his credentials mm-hmm. that are its authenticator.
It's intrinsic, right? It's kind of like I'm always, this service is always talking to this other service presenting the managed service identity.
Right.
And you don't need a connection string. You just need to refer to the right alias.
Because connect. You went to the right place. You have the right credentials. You're in.
Yep.
Your authentication.
So that's really the vision. We would like everything to get there. So all SaaS services and all host services supporting that. Right now, actually, with storage, which is just in preview. We announced that this week.
Right.
That supports MSI. And then app service and compute, which is used in Service Fabric and Cloud mm-hmm. Service and AKS and things like that, they also support MSI today. So you can start making those connections.
Right.
There's another variant. So what we'd love to say is first-party services, let's say Cosmos, Storage, the SaaS services, no connection string whatsoever. But then there's always going to be like external services that you work with.
Right.
Right. Like let's say Elastic Cloud, right?
Yep.
So, like, you're still going to have a connection string to those external services,
sure.
And then you'd put those in the Key Vault.
Yeah.
And then
and your
manage,
connection string is really to the Key Vault.
Then, right. Mm-hmm. So then at that point, what you would do is you'd have managed service identity talk to the Key Vault. So now, let's say a web app is authorized to always talk to the Key Vault on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a connection string to Elastic in that case, but the developer never sees it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because it's just looked up from the Key Vault by the app.
Well, right. And, you know, you have these classic scenarios where you've handed out credentials and then things change and you need to get those credentials back.
You need to rotate them.
Right. Yeah.
And you, expire or just, them.
Or
right?
revoke them, right? Revoke just them. Be able to turn that stuff off. So
yep.
never giving them the real credential, just a credential to the credential.
Exactly.
So that it's much
exactly.
more
kind of like OAuth in a way, right?
Yeah. So I do feel that way, but it's just nice to have a place where all of those secrets live that, you know, feel is relatively secure.
And that's another practical thing. So, like, we've talked about the application scenario, right, of an application talking to a SaaS service. There's another one, which maybe is more of the DevOps scenario. So, let's say I have a virtual machine. First thing the virtual machine needs to do is start bootstrapping software that it needs. A lot of times people will bootstrap bits from a storage account. And then you're probably using something like a SaaS key. And the SaaS key can expire.
Right.
And then how do you rotate those keys and how do you keep them working? So this is yet another strategy where you can safely have a VM talking to a storage account. And there is the ability to centrally manage, but there's not the necessity to go rotate keys yourself.
So where is there, could I build that rotate key mechanism into something in Key Vault?
Like, there is a feature for that in Key
Interesting.
Vault.
So in Key Vault, we set up that secret and we add it to a rotating, give it a rotating key capability.
That would be a whole topic into itself, probably directly with a Key Vault. Like we're the tooling
You guys
folks.
Are tooling against Key Vault, but it's just interesting.
That'd be cool to do a deep dive with them.
Well, and I think for the average IT guy, like we're trying to figure out how to manage these secrets and levels of capability. And we tend to pick these individual, you know, an RSA token option, like all of these different bits and pieces to assemble an overall security strategy. Mm-hmm. It's nice to have a bit more of a central repository, places where things all exist, and that we tend to keep those accounts clean and functional.
Definitely.
And not
and
confused.
Really keep an eye on them. And
you got one place to look, you know what to stare at all day and be afraid of.
Yeah, I mean, and you can also have different Key Vaults set up against different environments of production versus your own staging environment.
Sure, doesn't have to be one big pool.
Right, and the cool thing is that because you're referencing the Key Vault, you never really have to change anything in your code as you go through your different environments.
Right.
You'll just use the keys in those environments.
Yeah, and I do like this idea of, like, there's just no way for you to run a test lab against a production database.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because you never see those keys. You don't have that option.
Right.
Unless you're fully in the production rule set. And in that production,
and neither does your app, right? Your app
just doesn't know.
Just has no access.
There's no way. This is this pit of success thing, right?
Yes.
It's like you simply that bad choice isn't available to you.
Yep.
So no, I think that's very interesting to sort of granularize your vaults up into production testing.
I really like the pattern you guys are doing with connected service. I think that's another pit of success where, like you mentioned, Andrew, that there's this alias or there's this well-known name. That never changes when you move from environment to environment, but we put that pattern into your app from the get-go.
Right.
So it's like effectively always aliased, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's
But you
awesome.
Do have a naming consistency so that you know this is the kind of key I'm after, whether it's the production version or the testing version.
I want my
version.
Images database key.
Yes.
I want my membership key.
Mm-hmm. Right. But it's my membership key for production versus my membership key for testing.
And that's going to be governed by the environment itself. Like you're in the prod environment, it has a different key that only the prod folks should
have. So you're not actually naming production and test. Because you're living in the prod environment, that key name happens to be the production key. You're living in the test environment, that key name
is been
the
trying to, we've been staring at things like the 12-factor app patterns. And, right. And that's, I think, a great pattern is just the always use the same name and let the environment govern what the actual value is.
Right, where the
value just makes your app much more resilient and durable across a bunch of environments.
And you don't, it's a whole class of dumb error.
Yeah,
right?
It is.
Exactly.
We go it's to almost put like a string error, right?
Yeah, it's that kind of thing. Well, if you're setting up a new environment and you haven't done the homework to actually set up the vault and so forth, everything's going to fail, but that's okay. You know, at least it's the one consistent thing and you know what you have to do.
Exactly.
It's the asymmetrical failures that get much more frustrating to hunt down.
So, and you, like talking about the environments, you had a good way of describing it, like the different environments that an app usually goes through, right? So
Yeah, I mean, I think of it from like you work in your local environment, right? So you're completely offline. You want to build something maybe off of a couple of emulators just to see if it works.
Right.
Then kind of as the next factor, okay, let's bring it to Azure. If you're using Azure or if you're using other cloud services,
probably for dev test still, right?
Exactly. Yep. Still for dev test. And that's kind of your first like little foray into the cloud services world.
Right.
Then, you know, if that goes well enough, you can then continue to extend it. If you're working as part of a company, an enterprise solution, then you would have the various dev test environments, staging, pre-production, production,
sure,
that you would take it through.
And do you think it's physically reasonable at this point from an IT security perspective to say that at no point does the dev ever know the actual keys? Like, that we can actually set up these environments and organize the keys in such a way that say, yeah, I'll give you permission to request that token, but you're never really going to see the key itself.
What we're seeing so far, that
should be
exactly right.
Yeah. I mean, is one of the enterprise scenarios we keep hearing about, is we have security teams that manage it. Our devs shouldn't need to know.
They don't need to know.
Yeah, I was just thinking about it. Like, there's usually always something you should know that you exchange for the thing you don't need to know.
But exactly. But that should be your domain account.
Your domain account. Primarily. So you sign into Visual Studio using your domain account. You talk about the local scenario. The app will run as your account, and your account is authorized. But at that point, the tokens that are exchanged underneath, who cares? And then same thing, you move to the next environment. It's at runtime, so it's not a user running it. It's actually Azure running the app.
Right.
And that's where either that service principal or that managed service identity kicks in.
Right.
It's talking to the key vault.
And it's the one. It's the other thing. It's like the dev literally has no rights to production of any kind.
No.
Which means it can't be their fault.
It's like a wash your hands of all these problems.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, the thing is, I've always encouraged devs with this idea of like, you shouldn't have permissions under the production servers. But more relevantly, you shouldn't want permissions under the production servers. Because then it can't be your fault. So,
I've seen some horror stories.
Super easy to do.
Yeah,
right?
Like all production data in the ledger gone.
Yep.
Some test script runs.
I'm sorry, did you drop the database?
Yes.
The production database. Did you drop the production database?
There's a backup, right?
Yeah, and you're going to learn how to restore it. Let's
Any
go
question that
fun.
Starts with, just checking, is there a backup?
Is there a backup to this?
You're about to have a bad day.
Yeah, your day's already ruined.
you might have a bad weekend, actually. Yeah.
There have already been some great stories of people accidentally dropping stuff in Azure, and then finding out, you know, Azure tells you it's been dropped. It's not really dropped. If you ask nicely, we'll go find it for you.
Yes.
So you guys,
this is true. Call support.
Yeah, call support. We're here to help. And we understand that these things happen.
Yes.
But you know, I never want a dev as an IT person responsible for an Azure set of services for my organization. There is no point where I want a developer on that portal.
Yep.
Ever, and they shouldn't want it either, because it's just too darn risky. Or when they're there, it's literally they're looking at, you know, the Azure Test Lab tooling is great for, you're only going to see the stuff about the test lab you're working on and nothing else.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's almost like the developer defines what's needed, but really operations have to be handed off.
And we have to have that conversation.
There's one cool little nugget that we're trying, and we'll see how it goes. But we've already made sure that a lot of our connected tooling can always be written as script or done at the command line.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of cases, even the tooling will literally call that script. And the cool thing is that's changeable by developers and by ops folks. The second thing is we give you that script. So like, let's say during tooling gestures like adding connected services or publishing, you're doing these connected operations, you're creating a key vault and you're pushing things into it. We give you the same script. You can check it in. And then that could be handed, let's say, to your IT, your ops person, and they can just simply run it to reconstitute what the developer had already done.
It's a configuration.
So it just makes everything really, config as code.
Absolutely.
Makes it much more portable. There's a record communicated in a file.
Yep.
You know, of what's
evidence.
Yep.
And not a note, not an email. Paul Andrew, give me one moment here for this very important message.
This episode of Run As Radio is brought to you by SQL Intersection. 8 full-day workshops and over 40 technology-focused sessions make SQL Intersection a unique source of the best information around SQL Server from real-world consultants and the members of the SQL Server team. You'll learn proven problem-solving techniques and technologies you can implement immediately, as well as learn about the future of SQL Server. Get answers to performance monitoring, troubleshooting, designing for scale and performance cloud, as well as new features in the latest version of SQL Server. It's time to determine your migration strategy, and SQL Intersection is the place to figure out the best way to do it. Come to SQL Intersection at the MGM Grand Hotel in Las Vegas, December 3rd to 6th. Use the code RUNAS to get your discount on your registration at thesqlintersection.com, and I'll see you there.
And we're back. Richard Campbell, RUNAS Radio, here at Build, talking to Paul Yukinuits and Andrew Chung. We're talking a little bit about tooling around Azure Key Vault, being able to manage secrets responsibly. And again, from a, you know, I want my devs to be able to do these things. I just want to be able to do them right. And this, I think this gets even more important when we get beyond just the basic PaaS services. And I'm not going to say anything bad about the PaaS services in Azure, but it's, I've also got credentials for my Salesforce installation, for all these third-party tools, that Twitter accounts for the company. Like, you know, you've seen this go badly with employees that are fired and realize they know the credentials. You can have some fun with it. So it's a whole class of problem we sort of isolate with Key Vault, and then still can provide it into an app without embedding those credentials. We don't want that cred scrubber going berserk on us.
Yes. But we do have one if you need it.
Yes. Well, I want to add that to the pipeline. Like, again, you know, I'm trying to represent the SecOps guy who wants to be part of that DevOps process, and so he's trying to automate basic security validations.
Yep.
For every one of these things, and Key Vault's a great aspect of that. That these are where our secrets live. Cred Scrubber's awesome for that. That we're going to make sure the code that gets pushed around doesn't have anything inappropriate in it.
Yep. And at any time, you can know for sure that you're good.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing in there.
Well, and, you know, we think about that DevOps practice where we're just trying to speed that iteration point up to deployment. If you've got this stop where the security guy has to look at everything, well, that's just not fast enough. It needs to be automated. The same way that our testing needed to be automated for functionality, our InfoSec testing has to be done as well in an automated way. So, I mean, I appreciate that we have that tool in place, and that we can use their credentials in the right way. Other aspects?
We talked about the connected service.
We talked about the connected service. So our focus right now is how do we get users set up really quickly with this new thing called the Key Vault. And that's where connected services really come in. Just to go from file new project, you can attach a Key Vault to it right away. Mm-hmm. Either a new one or if there's already an existing one, let's say once again the enterprise example, you can connect to an existing one right away as well. And that's in product. That's in 15.7.
Right. So the latest version of Visual Studio, VS Code too?
It's not in VS Code right now.
Okay.
That's the next step.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yep. And so that's from a next step perspective, we're thinking of continuing to build out the end-to-end user experience. So cool. You can get set up. Now what?
Yeah.
Right. So we're thinking of as you take from your local app to your published app, how do you keep that Key Vault integration that you've got so you don't have to go through various steps to set it up all over again? How do you manage your secrets if they're already in a in our local secrets management, secrets.json file? Having a way to just, hey, let's copy everything over to the Key Vault and move all my secrets over to the Key Vault that I've got set up.
Sure.
And then further on down the road, we're also looking into building that cred scan experience we just talked about. So ultimately, you can set up a Key Vault, you know, hit a button, it'll scan your code, tell you, hey, it's found 74 secrets. I want to, you know, move 20 of them because these are the critical ones that are that I need to be concerned with.
Right.
The other ones, they're corporate ones, so I don't want to touch those when we move
into
the next
environment. Those are almost like refactorings, right?
You can exactly.
Be like, take it, the fix it is to go
take
put
that
into
out
the Key Vault. Yep.
Yeah. But it is interesting to think about secrets that applications themselves generate, and you want to treat them the same way that an SSL key, which may come from an outside source, is treated. And it's still the same problem that all those secrets should land in the vault.
Right, right. And especially if you had projects that existed before Key Vault even existed, right?
Sure. Like,
you're not always going to come in and go file a new project and then set up a Key Vault from scratch.
Now, but it is an interesting proposal from an InfoSec perspective to say, can we start going through our apps and start removing these alternative methods that we've handled secrets and make Key Vault our default practice.
Mm-hmm. Like
that's not a small thing to do.
It's not. But I think we can speed you up in the process, and it's going to be
cred scan.
Yeah, the cred scan plus this refactoring should go pretty far.
Yeah.
Another place I'm thinking, as you're, Andrew, thinking about the core, my team also does like the container and the Kubernetes tooling. And so that's almost like a whole new space with another layer of kind of complexity.
And a different set of credentials and rights.
Different set. And so I think in the Kubernetes world, developers in the ecosystem are used to using the built-in kind of vault mechanism that's in the orchestrator, that's in the cluster itself. So how could we adapt Key Vault into native concepts of Kubernetes? So they have things like volume mounts. And wouldn't it be cool if you could volume mount the Key Vault, and then it kind of looks like a mounted file, but as a representation of the Key Vault.
And then based on the security context that you have, what's going to be in it.
What's going to be in it, right? And that we'd want to base that off of MSI and all these other safer practices that we've talked about. So that's...
Is this speculative? Are you still considering how to implement this?
We're working through the design. Like, so it's a partnership with the actual, you know, Kubernetes and AKS teams and us to figure out the patterns that are going to be like good idioms for people.
In a typical container orchestration, there is some source of secrets that tends to be some kind of mounted volume.
Tends to be that, exactly.
With credentials. So just make Azure Key Vault appear as that.
So that would be seamless. And you can imagine where whether you're bootstrapping or whether you're having one layer of an app connect to another one, it would be kind of using that mechanism.
Very, very powerful.
Yeah.
And interesting to think about the privileges that are required for that, the orchestration level, the ability essentially to spend money. You know, if you think about an Azure Kubernetes implementation, you've you're codifying scale. Scale costs.
It does.
So I mean it's a different kind of secret, but it's a secret access to increasing expenditures. You know, when do you want to do that? What's the right way to do that? Like, that's an interesting conversation to have.
So I think I'll have to come back and talk to you about where we're at with that. But it's definitely, I'd say roadmap-wise, that's one of the next big challenges we're going
to
tackle. Hopefully this year.
Make that piece in there.
Yep.
In terms of getting Studio configured to default to Key Vault around certain behaviors with this tooling, is that something I can actually apply as a policy to say, if you're going to run Studio, you have to have that in place? Like, what does it take to turn that on?
In terms of turning it on for the Key Vault?
Or and for a given user's account running Studio that...
Almost like governance. Is there a governance that kind of ensures that
I do not want anybody working on code in my organization...
I see.
...doesn't have their Key Vault stuff set up. Like, I want to insist that that's there, so that their default behaviors are correct.
Yeah, it's an interesting idea.
It is good. Yeah, we're not there yet. we are hearing some interest around that, so I think
it's just interesting to think from a policy perspective. Or, I mean, I could do this with an installer. Like, I'm sure there's a configuration template I could put in place that when you install Studio, this stuff gets turned on, and you ask for the credentials.
Yeah, and we'll turn it on by default. I think there's one more step. So right now, the connected service is there. The very next step would be like publish, let's say, would do this by default.
Yep. Right.
So I think we're really close to that. And I think, Richard, you're asking about, can I make it a rule or a policy where it actually must, in fact, be used?
I mean, if nothing else, kick up to me as the InfoSec guy to say there's a guy running Studio not using Key Vault, right?
Yeah.
Just so that I know.
Some monitoring.
Well, and I'm not even going to attribute malice here. Somebody just doesn't know and is doing their thing and is creating code that's got secrets related stuff, and they're just missing that aspect of our work.
Yep.
I just need an indicator to say we're not going down a good path. I know, presumably, anytime they check some code and it's going to go into a CI/CD pipeline where CredScan is going to pick it up.
Yep.
And one of the things on my checklist when I'm realizing we're having that problem is, are you using Key Vault?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But it'd be useful.
Like further on.
And we could make it easy to log that and report that and have metrics around it. So we should.
I like that as a static, as an assertion, right?
Yep.
That your work in Studio, you've got Key Vault running.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. All right. We like need that. You're giving us some homework. That's good.
That's good. No.
I love it.
But it is interesting to think that way, that I do want policy and governance around development. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been doing that for years in various forms.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think you're the first person recently who's made it so strongly. We've been hearing, okay, now that we've seen this, we've made it a rule in our company, kind of like upon,
now
you know, punishment. Mm-hmm. and we could make that easier too. So
absolutely.
Well, you know, this whole certificate management issue, and just like, we're already giving away some good certs these days. Why shouldn't we get to a place where there is literally no excuse left for not everything being signed? Mm-hmm. And everything being strongly recognized and with a known set of sources and a pedigree and so on. And these are all pieces of the tooling necessary to do that. And once upon a time, we used to set up certificate authority internally.
Yes.
I think we've mostly stopped doing that because it sucked. But it's just unnecessarily hard. But yeah, we need to make this easy, to make it routine.
Yep.
I want people to just be signing stuff. I would rather issue excess certificates than not issue enough. But Yeah, it's an interesting problem, and it's well worthwhile just thinking through how we're going to have that confidence, because people will take the shortest path to delivering code
one way or
the
other. That's their job. It's been just too hard to do things the quote unquote right way.
Yeah, the path of least resistance should be the right way. Yeah, I don't think that it is yet, but I appreciate the pieces you guys are working on right now.
I love what the MSI team did, the managed service identity, because I think that finally makes it easy. Because service principles, great solution, very complicated to get that together, right?
Yeah.
And so,
well, then I just like the idea that software is not people, right? Yes. That we have a sense of this, a particular kind of count. It has a particular set of behaviors. You know what it is, and you know it can't do. If you find an MSI account surfing, you should stop it.
Right.
That's not what it does.
Awesome.
So this, the first iteration of this now is in 15.7. So it's sort of the latest build of Visual Studio 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'll be a first for me on Run As Radio to encourage IT folks to say, make sure your devs are running the latest version of Studio.
I love it. And they could take that you can get on the cred scan as an extension. Please make sure they go get that.
Is that
too
in the gallery?
It's in the gallery.
Right. So it's just something they can install and make part of the
pipeline.
It's
in our docs too. Yeah. So it's all docs, legit.
And it is the stuff you guys are using yourself.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And clearly there's going to be more coming out of
mine. We literally have engineering criteria reviews. We have to show that we're good.
And that you've gone through that.
And we are using this approach.
You got the green light on your credit scan.
This is also the pattern that we, in fact, use ourselves as well.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Recently did a show with the DevOps folks at Microsoft, and they were talking about these DevOps practice templates. So I would hope that CodeScan and so forth are a part of those templates as well, that you're providing this example of a pipeline that all of those pieces are in play.
Yep. Yes. So I think the integration, we need to work on integrating all these broader set of products together better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're at the tip of the spear right now.
Well, and just this conversation about InfoSec for devs, InfoSec for code, I don't think that we have enough conversations around that. It's one of the reasons that security folks seem to be very know-ish. It's really tough to see a new deployment and say, do we have confidence about what risks we're taking here, what's been exposed inside of that code. But I appreciate the chance to chat with you guys.
Thank you.
See there's some new tooling going on there.
Cool. And
we can spend more time with it. I'm sure there's more shows to come.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Andrew, Paul, thanks again. Great
Richard,
to see you.
Always great. Thank you.
And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.